Should you hug it out? What Barack Obama, Justin Trudeau, and Jerry Seinfeld can teach us about maintaining personal boundaries.
Money-saving tips from the savvy reporters at MarketWatch.com. This is Money, Markets, and More.
I'm Katie Hill.
And I'm Quentin Fortrell. You're listening to Money, Markets, and More, where we talk about the strangest stories of the week. And this is a strange one, but it's an important one with the new work culture. Everybody's so friendly to each other.
We've all had an uncomfortable hug at work where you thought maybe they should have just waved hello and then they went in for a hug and you were like, I don't know about that.
That's strange because, well, there were just two weird situations this week. One was this sort of, it's been called the bro hug between Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and Barack Obama, former U.S. President, in Montreal after they had dinner, and it was just all over the media, and it was sort of weird. And then there was another hug that never happened when Jerry Seinfeld was standing at an event in D.C., and Kesha, pop star, approached him and said that she said, I love you so much, can I give you a hug? And he stepped back and said, no, thanks. And then she asked him three times, and he declined. It was so awkward. Yes. And I just made me think, when should we hug and when should we not hug? Because I feel like it's a problem. And there has been, believe it or not, there was a recent study done on this where 54% of advertising and marketing executives said hugging coworkers is actually somewhat or very common, and that's up from 30% 5 years ago. So there's something to be said for this explosion of hugging in the workplace or among colleagues. And we have Jacob Passy, who's a reporter for MarketWatch, in the studio. And we also have Dr. Fran Wallfish, who is a Beverly Hills psychotherapist. Fran, coming to you first, you were at A Star Is Born in 1976. It was an official screening, and you saw Streisand outside, and what did you do?
Well, let me tell you, at that time I was her number one hugest fan, and I, after the screening of the film, Barbara answered questions from the audience, and when it was over, she stood up with John Peters, producer of the film, her live-in boyfriend, and they were about to walk away. I shoved from the back row of the theater, shoved right through the crowd, and made a beeline for Barbara. I looked straight at her, nose to nose, and said, Barbara, I love you. Can I give you a hug? And everyone knows Barbara Streisand is extremely cautious and fearful of strangers, but she looked right at me, toe to head, up and down, and she shrugged her shoulders, smiled, and said, why not? I threw my arms around her neck, and as you wrote in print, of course I held on longer than she did, but the truth is, three huge bodyguards had to pull me off of her. I held on so long.
No. You're kidding. You never told me that when we first spoke.
No, I didn't. I was so afraid you'd put it in print and people would think I'm the crazy, stalking kind of fan. But the truth is, today I'm one of the leading Beverly Hills psychotherapists, and I treat a lot of celebrities. And the world is very different 40 years later today, where celebrities with elite politicians have to be concerned and even worried about potential dangerous people who want to get close to them, who have mental disorders and could do harm to them. People get death threats. Paparazzi will snap a picture of someone famous with a stranger and then capitalize on that and say they're having an affair, and it causes all kinds of grief.
Yeah, they don't want to be photographed. They don't want to be photographed,
so
and I can see why Jerry Seinfeld.
The Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand
that.
He didn't know who she was.
I mean, it was embarrassing for her, for Kesha, but I can understand that you don't want to feel like you're public property and that you should be. I had a recent experience with somebody at my church, and I was going to give her a hug, and she said, "Oh, my therapist has told me that if I don't like hugging, I should tell people that I don't like hugging." And I was amazed. I said, "I respect that, the way you're able to draw that line and that boundary." And I realized that I wasn't comfortable with hugging either, but I just do it because I thought I had to do it. So mm-hmm. I just love that her therapist said, just tell people you don't like to hug and then roll
I
with it.
I love that, too. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld created a very crystal clear boundary. He did not know Kesha. It was clear from his body language in the little video. But he even said it. I don't know who that is. And she approached him truthfully very similarly to the way I approached Streisand 40 years ago. The difference is Kesha's got long, very bleached blonde hair, lots of makeup, and breast exposure in that picture, in that film. And I can say she looked wild-eyed. He had a right to be suspicious, but also comes the question, how do you do it? Because he did clearly reject her and she felt hurt. So, the therapist that advised the person who refused your hug gave great advice. When do you hug and when don't you is a very good question. And a lot of people rely on their intuition,
right,
which is most often accurate.
Right. Intuition. Jacob Passy, writer for Market Watch, you've recently written about this issue of body language, particularly for in the workplace when you're looking for a job. What did you find?
Yeah, so a study came out from Office Team, which is a staffing company, that found that senior managers reported 30% of the applicants they interviewed for positions displayed some sort of negative body language. And that could mean a bunch of different things, you know, bad eye contact, a weak handshake, bad posture. It can mean a whole host of different things.
But I wanted to straighten up as well.
Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, sometimes people get so caught up thinking about what they're going to say during a job interview that they forget that you also say a lot by your nonverbal cues, by literally just how you hold yourself in person. And this also extends to video interviews. You know, that's a new phenomenon. I think a lot of people are just doing their first video interviews for jobs in recent years. And a lot of the same rules apply. Obviously, there are some specific ones when you're not in person and doing something over Skype. But, you know, I've found myself when I've done video interviews before, it's kind of uncomfortable. And you start, I started gesturing very unnaturally, not like how I normally do, because I felt the need to put myself out there more because to compensate for the fact that it wasn't in person.
Wow, Skype interviews. I didn't even think of that, Jacob. I have a question to ask you, and I'm going to ask it when we're right back after this break.
Make sure to check out the Future of Everything podcast, because the future is closer than you think. All new episodes each Friday in June. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
And we're back with Fran Wolfish, Beverly Hills psychotherapist, and Jacob Passy, who's a reporter for MarketWatch. Jacob, you were talking about Skype interviews and body language, and I suppose you don't want to have your cuddly toy collection lined up behind you, do you?
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't want inappropriate stuff in the background, no.
Kids running in.
Yeah, oh yeah, BBC interview. Yeah, no, you don't. You want it to be professional looking.
A poster from Top Gun. Don't want that.
Nope. You don't want your liquor cabinet in the background.
Right, don't want your booze lined up on the shelf.
So, and you also still need to dress well. It's good to test out your connection ahead of time, because that if you have a bad internet connection and then you keep on freezing, it's going to look somewhat unprofessional. You also, you know, you want to make sure if you have a laptop, you know, don't do the interview with your computer in your lap. Put it on a desk, a table. I mean, it'll just make it look more professional.
I could see at the end of an interview how somebody might be excited and might want to go in for the hug.
And it happens, and you're like, I know we just had a nice chat, but I just met you for an hour.
Because you think that this is a good thing, like you're showing how comfortable and confident you are. But there was another study done by the University of Oxford last year, and it showed that it was like nearly 1,400 people took part, and it showed that people, men and women, were more comfortable with a handshake on meeting someone for the first time, not just women.
I think that should be pretty standard, right?
I think with a lot of this stuff, especially when it comes to a job interview, you need to let the interviewer kind of guide it. And that was one of the big things that came out when I was talking to different experts was, you know, you don't want to act unnaturally and you don't want to do things that aren't you. But, you know, read the room, you know, gauge whether different actions would be appropriate. Don't just assume things.
Right. Fran, there is this Silicon Valley culture, and I'm sure you've seen it out in LA, where people are a lot more touchy-feely. And I wonder, what should you do if your CEO suddenly decides to high-five you and then move in for a hug?
Well, as long as there's no sexual innuendo, I think it's fine to respond in kind. You know, I can give you an example where that supports everything Jacob is saying. About a year ago, I had an interview meeting with a large number of television executives. And in my mind, I thought, okay, they're looking for a larger-than-life personality. And I made a mistake. I walked in the room, and instead of handshaking, I just threw my arms around one of the producers and gave him like a sisterly hug, nothing inappropriate.
Fran, you never told me that in the article either. That's the second thing you held back.
Let me tell you a luxury I have to share with you. I got the job. And
oh, you got it. That's great.
I got feedback from that producer, and he said that hug made his impression of me be needy, that I was too emotionally needy, needy for approval. And what saved me is once I started talking about psychology and people and human development, and he saw I knew my stuff. So, you know, it's a very unclear, awkward space, and you're wise to bring this topic to the public because people do not want it to work against them.
Right.
You want it to work for you. And the producer said, had I only hugged him at the end, it would have been better.
Wow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, we became friends after that, and it was wonderful that I was able to get that very constructive feedback so that I didn't continue to do it.
I love that he gave you that feedback. So you got the job not because of the hug, really, but despite it.
And you often don't even know if the hug was appropriate or not.
Exactly. I got it in spite of it.
Wow.
Right.
That's such a lesson. Well, Fran Wolfish, Beverly Hills psychotherapist.
And hugger.
Hugger, but also TV personality, because it hasn't stopped you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Jacob Passy, thank you for sharing your thoughts on job interviews and body language. Wow. Well, I'm not going to hug anybody.
We're going to have
today.
To hug it out now, Quentin, I think.
I think we're going to walk out of the studio and we're going to handshake each other in a manner that is fitting for our
office.
Yes.
Professional.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts.
Follow the Wall Street Journal on your favorite podcast app. Search WSJ on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and any Amazon Alexa device. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.